Good morning, it's time for the K-State Research and Extension Report, and joining us this morning is Meridian Extension District Family and Consumer Sciences Agent, Kathy Gall. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. It's August, mid-August. It feels weird to be thinking about schools and all that kind of stuff, but with that comes maybe some financial hardships, and you've got some strategies.
Absolutely. You know, planning for the what-ifs in life is always a good thing, and we talk about it an awful lot, but when it comes down to having to hold ourselves accountable and actually do the things that we know we should do, sometimes that's the most difficult part. And one of that is creating that kind of family emergency fund, if you will, for financial emergencies that might come up. You know, we say, oh, that's a fund that we need to have, but then we're not as diligent about putting money back to help provide for those emergencies down the road. So I just want folks to kind of think about that. You know, it can be a natural disaster. It can be the loss of a job. It can be a sudden health issue. There are lots of things that can put us into that financial emergency. And as we know, these emergencies most likely will happen when we least expect them. And we've got some tips and information on how to help families survive during the tough times. And obviously the number one thing is before any kind of an emergency or crisis would take place, we want to encourage folks to build a emergency fund. And if we don't have an emergency fund, that is something that we really need to start, and we can do that at any time. And we might think we don't have a lot of money to contribute to it, and we're looking at the big number that we might need versus what we can contribute on a weekly or a monthly basis. And I tell folks, you know, just start with what you can. Even a small amount can add up over time. So if you only have $20 a month that you can put back, that's $20 a month you'll have for an emergency, and that $20 is going to add up over time. So don't look at the dollar amount that you have. Look at that end goal in having that emergency fund. So if it's $10 a week, $20 a month, whatever your budget will handle, I encourage folks to set that aside for emergencies. The more cash that we have when an emergency comes up, the less we're going to have to put on a credit card. And we have to remember, even though we have those credit cards set aside to be available during emergencies, that kind of compounds the emergency, because not only are we paying back that money on the credit card, but we're paying it back with interest, which is adding to the cost of the financial emergency. Ideally, we should save up enough money to cover 6 months of expenses based on what you spend in a typical month. But there again, I don't want people to get stuck on that number. Just start saving whatever you can and put it aside. If you don't have 6 months worth of expenses, you might have 1 week that you can cover with cash, 2 weeks that you can cover with cash, et cetera. So whatever you need to offset anything else that you might have to put on a credit card or a personal loan. The other thing to keep in mind, in addition to putting that money aside, is also reviewing our homeowners and our health insurance coverage to make sure that you've got the coverage that you're expecting. This is super important, for example, in the event of a natural disaster that might cause damage to your property, or an unexpected car accident, for example, that might leave you with some health concerns that you need to take for. And making sure that you know where these documents are and you have easy access to those documents and your family knows where those documents are. Not only is it important for us to know what coverage we have, but it's important to keep your records safe and make them easily accessible. All of this kind of goes along with that emergency fund as part of an emergency plan. Whenever you have these unexpected emergencies come up, then we can use what we've prepared. So as I mentioned, we can use that cash that we've got set back to purchase the essentials that we have. We can also anticipate things that might be happening down the road. Job loss is a very good example. Unexpected job loss, all of a sudden, we'll have to try to make plans on how we can pay our bills. So things that we might want to be proactive about are contacting our creditors and tell them that you anticipate having some financial difficulties and working with them on extending payments whenever possible, giving you a grace period while you are looking to make up for that income that's being lost. You can also increase a credit availability during this time to get you through if that is your only source of funding to be able to get through the emergency. The other thing, if this financial crisis is caused by an unexpected job loss, filing for unemployment benefits is super important, even if you aren't sure you'll qualify. Reaching out and going through the process, don't just assume that you don't qualify. I always encourage folks to start go through the process, because we don't know what the end result is going to be until we've done that. And then look at other sources for help that may be available in the community. Food banks, for example, housing assistance, child care and transportation services, whatever is available in the local community. Every little bit of help can help offset the crisis that you're in. And then once the emergency has passed, kind of evaluating what went well and what didn't go well. Keep a list of the resources that you discovered in your community in case you have to turn to those down the road in the future. If you've got property damage, if this has been caused by a natural disaster of some sort, file the insurance claims and then follow through and make sure that you're working with licensed contractors, that you're not working with the folks who are knocking on the door saying, hail came through the community and we're here to fix your roof, that you're verifying that they are licensed and insured contractors. And then once things start to settle down, go back to square one if you've exhausted that emergency fund and work on rebuilding it up so that it is going to be available for you should an emergency happen down the road. We've got some excellent resources that are available through the Meredithine Extension District on our website under our family finance section. We've got a great program that is called When Your Income Drops that has a lot of real-world practical information on what you can do when you've had a financial crisis and all of a sudden you don't have the income that you're needing. I would encourage folks to visit the website, meredithine.kstate.edu, for some really good helpful tips and further information. And as always, you can give me a call at 913-294-4306, and I'll be more than happy to help you out with any information that we have available. But start, you know, it's baby steps, as we say, just a little bit at a time, whatever funds you have available. Set a goal for that amount each month and get it put back in that emergency account and try to build up for 6 months of unexpectedness to make your life easier down the road when those things do happen.
Absolutely crucial and some very, very good tips. Coming up tomorrow morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District Crop Production and Farm Management Agent Ryan Schaub.